This is Matt Wells at UN News. If you had to guess at how many children are involved in forced labour around the world, does 152 million sound about right? And what if we told you that this is actually an improvement on the number of youngsters working illegally 20 years ago? Today, these gains are at risk as the devastating economic impact of the COVID-19 crisis affects millions of families already on the poverty line, the International Labour Organization, ILO, has warned. For many, it is increasingly difficult not to consider sending their youngsters out to work. As ILO's Michele de Koch tells UN News' Daniel Johnson, marking the World Day Against Child Labour.
You know that in the last 20 years, almost 100 million children less are in child labour compared to 20 years ago. We were in, let's say, a good track to eliminate child labour. And unfortunately, we think that for the first time, instead of going down, the figures are going up again.
Yes, and there's data from ILO saying that for every 1% rise in poverty, there's a 0.7% rise in child labour. So what is it that COVID-19, the pandemic and the lockdown measures have caused exactly to mean that there's a bigger risk of child labour?
What we know is that there are a few elements that cause child labour and that have been affected by the COVID crisis. The first one is definitely unemployment. When people, adults, lose their jobs, suffer wage cuts, their children may have to go to work to compensate for the loss of the family income. Along with unemployment is definitely poverty. So again, because of the poverty resulting from COVID, we're likely to see an increase of child labour. On livelihoods as well, you know, these vulnerable groups such as smallholder farmers or workers from informal sector or people from rural areas, migrant workers, they are likely to see their livelihoods severely impacted by the economic crisis. And therefore, they may face hunger, extreme poverty, leading to new requests for child labour.
The International Labour Organization talks of children being put into more hazardous situations. Can you give any examples?
Yeah, I may give you two examples. One is an awful thing that we see crisis after crisis, where traffickers will abuse the extreme vulnerability of families who are left without income to come and pretend that they will take care of the child, offer shelter or offer education in exchange for just a little work or helping at home. But behind this offer are traffickers who will sell the children for the most exploitative forms. So trafficking is always, we've seen trafficking in children related to that type of crisis. There is another form of child labor which may have happened right now. It's all the cases of debt bondage. You know, people are desperately looking for credit and they may take a kind of credit and in exchange let the child or the whole family go for bonded labor. So that's definitely a worse form of child labor when the whole family loses their freedom as workers. So that's forced labor for the adults and forced labor for the children as well.
Yeah, that's pretty awful, isn't it? So let's talk about some measures that can counter and do counter child labor happening around the world now.
I think the first of all, we are calling for urgent action and integrated response to prevent and mitigate the tolls of the pandemic takes on children and their families. So governments need to take these measures to prevent child labour as a core part of their response to the crisis. So our words to the governments is don't forget children when you design the response. Child labour should be at the core of the response. Definitely all the measures developed around poverty alleviation, jobs, livelihoods to mitigate the crisis impact will have an impact to protect children from child labour. We've seen a lot taking place around education because That was said from the beginning of the crisis and the closure of schools. We know that there is a real chance that some children don't go back to school when schools reopen. Nevertheless, during the crisis, we've seen many initiatives where countries were doing innovative way to reach children through radio, TV. We've seen a lot of those initiatives in Africa, for example, and we think that this is something to encourage that countries realize and develop strategies to reach the poorest families and children. So that's really important to make sure they are not left by all the classical measures of internet education, which of course was not available for children all over the world.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but how do you tackle the children in the informal sector of migrant workers, rural workers, you suggest too, are very vulnerable? What's the International Labour Organization encouraging countries to do?
Yes, you're absolutely right. And our work is exactly for those children who are not seen, as you said. Our Director General, Guy Ryder, recently said, again, universal access to social protection is vital in times of crisis, as it provides assistance to those who are most vulnerable. And this is the whole approach that we are promoting. We should develop strategy relevant in the context of rural economies, where most farm workers, for example, don't have access to any formal security system. So we are working with countries, member states, to say, to help them to design this comprehensive social security net and system.
And can I ask you, because you've been covering this for years, the child labour issue, has the COVID pandemic, the crisis, led to a change in heart from governments, a more broad approach from them? We're always told that if anything's going to happen, if change is going to happen, it needs to come from the top and particularly from the finance department. Are you seeing that?
I'm an optimistic person, having been working in that field for so many years. Really, I do believe that we can make a change, and governments are working to make a change and protect children. I was quoting this 100 million children less in 20 years. It's huge, 100 million. We still have work to do. We still have this 152 that, because our target is zero children in child labour in 2025. But to come back to your question on, let's say, on education, what I was telling you, when I see African countries, like many really started to reach children through this radio. Most people have a radio or TV. And, you know, taking mapping those who don't have internet. So that could be an opportunity to extend, to reach more people. On social protection, we know the efficiency we've demonstrated by econometric analysis, and also countries have seen the difference of measures like cash transfer. You know, this conditional cash transfer, where the family will receive some money, ensuring that the children go to school. This is efficient. It has been proven. So countries are implementing it now during the crisis.
And do you have any specific examples of countries where children have been helped?
Yes, in Ethiopia, for example, children were working far from home. So when there was the lockdown, children were on the road, alone, coming back with no way to go back home. And the Ministry of Women, Children and Youth sent social workers from the ministry in these centers to protect the children, to facilitate the tracing, to find their families and to help them to go back safe to their families out of child labor situation. So that's an example of a situation which could have led to catastrophe if the children had been left alone on the roads. And thanks to the role of social workers, they were protected from child labor and sent back safely to their family.